Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
DoorDash is here. Get more from your neighborhood. I use it. It's the summer of Dash Pass. Members get $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food. Try Dash Pass for free and get year-round savings, $0 delivery fees. DoorDash has it on their app. I haven't talked to my buddy TJ Hushmanzada, Fox Sports, played in the NFL for over a decade, pro bowler. Always has a unique spin on things, and he is now joining us live from an undisclosed location. I know it, but I'm not telling you. Always in a nice house. It's almost like he knows what he's doing with real estate. All right, blah, blah, blah. All right, TJ, I got a question. So before we get to the Wentz thing, I asked this to Darius Butler early. You're a player, and you're a good player, and you're a veteran player, and you're in Chicago. Would you be rooting for the young kid with a big ceiling, Justin Fields, or for the steady hand of Dalton? And in San Francisco, you're a receiver, you're a veteran, you want to win now. And is it Trey Lance or Garoppolo? In both instances, they're kind of tied. It could go either way. So let's start with San Francisco. You just saw Trey Lance. He was where you're at. What do veteran players think in a locker room if the young kid looks great, but he doesn't have any snaps? It's the National Football League. We got to get off to a good start. What do you make? Let's start with Trey Lance in San Francisco. If you're in that locker room, who are you privately rooting for?
I need to see how Trey Lance looks in the preseason. If he looks how he looks in practice, it doesn't matter what I think. I would prefer the veteran just because you can look good in practice. Jimmy G has seen everything. He's been through everything. I know he can get me the ball. I know he can get the job done. Trey Lance, there's going to be some growing pains. I don't care how good you look, but it's the preseason games when now it's live bullets. Now guys can actually hit you. These reps matter. They're not going to run up and get past the tackle and pull off. They're going to hit you. And so you're going to have to see that zero blitz. You're going to have to recognize coverage very quickly. I need to see how he performs in the preseason. Is he getting the ball out on time? Is he holding the ball? Is he staring down his receivers? Because practicing a game is a completely different story.
Let's go to Chicago, where Dalton's not as good as Garoppolo, in my opinion, and Justin Fields may not be as good as Trey Lance. We'll find out. But you're Allen Robinson. You're a receiver in Chicago. Take me through what you'd want to see, because Dalton's ceiling, in my opinion, is lower than Garoppolo, which leads me to believe you'd probably just go with a young guy, right?
You would agree. When you look at Andy Dalton, he had weapons around him in Cincinnati. He had weapons in the Dallas Cowboys last year. He had more weapons with the Cowboys last year than he has with the Bears this year. And so you answered the question yourself. Me, Justin Fields is the best option for him. Now, they promised Andy Dalton that he's going to be the starter. I get it. But if it's close, and I get Matt Nagy, he doesn't want to throw Justin Fields out there. He's not ready. You mentally ruin the kid. But if it's close, you always go with the younger player, because a younger player in a couple of years will far surpass what the vet can do. And so for me, I look at Andy Dalton. You had talent with the Cowboys and you were serviceable, but serviceable isn't good enough in the NFL, especially not the Chicago Bears, because they're going to win or somebody else will be developing Justin Fields.
Okay, let's put you in the locker room of the Colts. I supported the Colts when they went out and got Carson Wentz. I knew he'd been hurt, but Phillip Rivers was old. There's a ceiling to that. And Carson Wentz, other than a concussion, hadn't had a serious injury in 2 years. So my takeaway was concussions happen. When you look at the Carson Wentz situation today, won't be back 5 to 12 weeks. Do you immediately think, TJ, season over for the Colts?
Yeah, Carson Wentz can't catch a break, man. He cannot catch a break. It's almost like they're optimistic, they're excited, they're showing these bombs he's throwing in practice. I know Michael Pittman was excited to play with him. And then this happens. When 5 to 12 weeks, that's probably going to be 10 to 12 week injury.
Yeah.
He's going to miss the majority of the season. And so you're kind of just like, you're down a little bit. That's just the best way to put it. You're disappointed. You're disappointed for him because he seems like he's a good dude and he was just in a situation that he didn't like with the Eagles. He finally gets to the Colts. He's probably there and the guys have embraced him. And now this happens. Frank Wright's a great coach. The Colts are a great organization. I bet they wish they had Jacoby Brissett now. And it's one of those things where if the backup can't get it done, the Colts are going to have a bad year when they have so much promise going into the season before he gets hurt.
Yeah, I do not believe Jacob Eason is the watched him a lot in college. Big kid, big arm. I don't think he's the answer. He has struggled so far in camp. So I said this earlier. I don't have a problem pushing back at authority. I've done it a few times in my career. But generally, if I'm going to do it, there's got to be something I get for doing it. I'm not going to make noise if I don't get something. More money, more years in the contract, more there's got to be something. Otherwise, I'm irritating a corporation. What they got the power, I don't. So Aaron Rodgers is very noisy for 2 months. In the end, he didn't get more money. He's still not a free agent for 2 years. He can't control where he gets traded to. And he's probably less popular in the state of Wisconsin. You tell me, what did he get? What did he get?
When you stated like that, I was literally on the sitting here like, yeah, he won this. We've talked about this, me and LeVar on our show. And he got a lot of things out in the open, I believe, that he wanted out. With Jordan Love, I believe the 2023 season, if Jordan Love shows anything, Aaron Rodgers is going to be gone anyway. And so for them to void that year, I mean, it looks like he got concessions. But the only thing that he received, I guess, that he wanted was Randall Cobb.
Right.
I guess if Randall Cobb is what you wanted, then there you go. And I agree players should be involved. Players of Aaron Rodgers caliber should be involved at least somewhat in the process of who's retained and who isn't offensively. But Randall Cobb, these are personal friendships, personal attachments. He just wasn't worth what the Cowboys had given him at the time he was a free agent. And so when you say it that way, all he got was Randall Cobb. That year off his contract doesn't mean much. If Jordan Love can show he can play this preseason, they'll be glad to trade him. But he got Randall Cobb. That's what he received, Randall Cobb. So, Randall Cobb, you better ball out.
Yeah, by the way, again, I'm not against the artist pushing back at Ticketmaster or whatever it is. But you got to get something for the pushback because, by the way, corporations – and NFL GMs have long memories. So if you're gonna humiliate me at a press conference and you're gonna call me out, well, then you better get something beyond a slot receiver who's probably about a year and a half to 2 years past his prime. All right, so we talked about this. There was an injury today. When Devontae Smith came out of Alabama, I said he looks really slight. He looks really small. He's already hurt. So TJ, when for our audience, when you're around TJ, TJ's big. You're a big athlete. You're a big man, right? I'm 6'2", 190, and you're bigger than me. And you're a receiver. So when I look at Devontae Smith, the Alabama receiver already hurt, I think, I'm sorry, but I do look at the physique, at the hip. That's why Zach Wilson, the Jets quarterback, he's tiny. He reminds me of Johnny Manziel. He's got small hips. You know, if you see, you're the one that told me Justin Herbert, you're like, Colin, you told me this before he played. You're like, he's a house. He's huge. So when you look at the Devontae Smith, the wide receiver's already hurt, do you think it's random or do you think this is the reality of his NFL career going forward? You went from junior college to the NFL. You tell me, was the physicality different at every level?
The physicality is different. Is it concerning? He didn't have a big injury history at Alabama. Now, you know, his hand, he hurt his hand in the game. But when you start talking receivers and lower body injuries, and you're already a naturally thin dude,
yes,
it concerns you. It concerns you somewhat. Now, it's just a matter of, they said it's minor. Obviously, it's the lower body. And when you have, he's long. And every time you decelerate, to me, that's the key of being a really good receiver, is your ability to decelerate. You're putting stress on your quads, which in turn is your knees also. And so he just has to make sure he's doing, he can't put weight on, Colin, because if he puts weight on, it's going to take away what makes him good. I mean, you look at a guy like DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson has been the same weight for the last 13 years he's been in the league. He hasn't gained a pound since Cal. And so speed and elusiveness is his best attribute. He needs to stay there, but just understand, I have to get stronger in certain situations. Is it concerning? Not really, because he didn't have a deep college history of injuries.
Yeah. All right, TJ Hushmanzada, you've seen some of these young players. I'm not going to say where you're at, but you've seen a lot of them. You did tell me Trey Lance looked pretty good when you saw him in person recently.
Trey Lance is huge. Big dude, can really, really throw the ball, can put touch on the ball when needs be. Yeah, Jimmy G got a task on his hand. You know they don't want to pay Jimmy G over $20 million to sit the bench.
Right.
They don't want to do that. They might have to.
Yeah. Good seeing you, bud.
Colin, I appreciate it, man. Take care. Keep up the great work.
TJ Hushmanzada, Pro Bowler, up on game. He's got a Saturday show on Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, it's not a shot at Aaron Rodgers. It's just, I've been in corporate America for, like 20 years. And you can push back. I mean, I've been in 8 negotiations in 20-some years. There's always push and pull. But if you're going to make it public, my stuff never goes public. I see a lot of people in broadcasting go public. I never go public. If I'm mad at him, I'll tell him in a room. I won't even tell my wife. I won't tell my friends. I'm not making it public. But when Aaron goes public and then goes to the press conference, the podium, and calls out his boss, what did you get for that? Randall Cobb? Like, you didn't get more money. You don't have a say where you're going to get traded. Well, a year got lopped off the end of the contract. You'll be 40. There's not going to be I'm going to guess, not going to be a huge market, decent market. But if Green Bay kept you for 2 more years and you don't win Super Bowls, we're going to have 6 more good quarterbacks in the league. The market may shrink. And there may only be bad teams available. You look around, who needs a quarterback today? Even if they could afford him, would the Colts get Aaron Rodgers today? Let's just say it was possible. Well, how could you? You're paying Carson Wentz. I mean, just think about this. Aaron Rodgers' salary cap next year, or let me just say his salary next year, I read this weekend is $46 million. Do you know how few teams can afford a $46 million quarterback? So when you bring Aaron in, and he's not a pay cut guy, you're going to have to get rid of your right tackle, your second best corner, your 2-time Pro Bowler nose tackle. I mean, so you got to be careful if you're going to go out. I know everybody, millennials, I push back at authority. Listen to Uncle Colin. If you're going to do that, billionaires beat millionaires and millionaires beat non-millionaires. And your corporation is full of billionaires. The guy who owns it's a billionaire. So if you're going to go out and try to publicly humiliate your corporation, you got to get something. You either got to get an extension, a lot of money. I don't know what Aaron got. You got a slot receiver. I mean, getting a year lopped off your contract, that's off. You know how far off that is? That's 2 full years from now. That is not a lot to get for publicly humiliating a boss. And you may defend Aaron. He has a right to. Every young person today, Colin, you're wrong. He told them where he stands. Yeah, and they may just trade him to the Texans. Be very careful.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Alex with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
Well, let's start with some great news because the U.S. men's national team was crowned champions of the Gold Cup in the final against Mexico last night.
So
the teams were tied at zero going into extra time.
Boom.
And the U.S. pulled off the win with a late goal from Miles Robinson in the 117th minute. Now, this is the U.S.'s seventh Gold Cup title and second straight victory against Mexico in a tournament final. And now the team can shift its focus to the start of the World Cup qualifying next month. Now, Colin, I know you watched this. This was such an exciting edge of your seat.
Well, listen, we didn't play Weston McKennie or Christian Pulisic, and nor was this Mexico's top team. But it did show that we've got more depth than we've had in recent years. Mm-hmm. And when you consider where we were a few years ago when we could not make the World Cup, how low United States men's soccer was.
Yeah.
It was the low. Many believe it was the lowest point in 25 years.
It was bad.
It was bad. And now we come back and there's no question.
Mm-mm.
Pulisic is the greatest individual talent we've ever had.
Yep.
And there's a handful, 3 to 4 other young emerging stars who are really skilled. Also, I thought Matt Turner in goal was terrific. Mexico had a half dozen really good shots on goal.
Yep.
He's got an interesting story. You can read about it on The Athletic. But I think we're in good hands. And it just felt different than other Gold Cup wins. It felt like...
Oh, yeah.
When you consider how low we were about 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and what we have in the future, it was a very, I mean, I watched it and I watched their announcers get emotional. I felt like, wow, this feels like, it's, you know what I always say, nothing is everything, everything is something. It's not everything, but it felt bigger than your average Gold Cup for the States.
It was. This was a huge win for the United States, not only in the fashion that they won, because whenever you win in extra time, when you're on the right side of winning, there's just something extra special about that.
Like,
it's just exhilarating. And now they have that momentum to hopefully roll into the World Cup qualifiers next month. So congratulations once again. Moving on to the Cowboys, they'll kick off their regular season schedule with a trip to Tampa to face the reigning Super Bowl champion Buccaneers, and Jerry Jones is being realistic with the matchup as they will be big underdogs heading into this game.
We're going to have a lot of prayer so that we can get the courage to show up. Let me tell you this. World champion Tom Brady, Tampa, great atmosphere. What a better opportunity to step up there and be David against Goliath.
A little bit, but let's not kid ourselves. A lot of starters won't be playing for Tampa. By the way, Tom Brady, I just read this morning, you know, those Tampa guys, not only had they never won a Super Bowl, but Tom doesn't take his foot off the gas. So apparently the last 3 days at practice, he has been throwing his helmet, dog cussing guys, and it's funny because it's one thing you knew Brady would bring that, and then you think, oh, we won a Super Bowl, we can chill.
Nope.
I have never read more stories about Brady blowing up at teammates in all the years I've been doing this.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians and Brady are rough. I mean, they are ripping teammates, and it's like that's the difference with Brady. A lot of people have success and they took the foot off the gas.
Mm-mm.
Jordan didn't, and Brady didn't.
Nope.
That's what the greats do. The standards don't dip off of excellence, off of a title.
No, I love hearing that so much. That's why he's the greatest, and that's why he elevates every single person around him.
Yeah.
But this is also going to be a big year for Dak and the Cowboys. He's coming off a big injury, a big contract. He has a lot to prove.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys have a lot to prove. So it'll be a fun one.
Yep.
All right. Well, there will come a day when Trey Lance will take over as a starting quarterback for the 49ers. But until then, Kyle Shanahan is expecting Jimmy Garoppolo to continue to be the team's leader if he plays the way Shanahan believes he can. He told Peter King, "What I told Jimmy right when we made the trade is I don't know any rookie who can come and beat you out if you're playing at his best self. I didn't necessarily think he was there last year at camp. Then he had the injuries, and right now I see him playing well. If he can continue to go that way, that's great for Trey. Then Trey can wait till he's at his best self, which doesn't happen overnight."
Yeah, well, the preseason is going to give us a glimpse. That's why I think I've never been a huge fan, Alex, of preseason football, but I think in the Bears and the Niners case.
Yeah.
Now in Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence is starting regardless. In New York, Zach Wilson starting regardless. But the Bears and the Niners, to me, are the two most fascinating preseason teams. We have these two hyper-talented guys.
Yeah.
Veterans who, by the way, Andy's made a lot of playoffs. Andy Dalton made the playoffs four straight years. Garoppolo got to a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Bears-Niners preseason games, must watch for me.
But if Jimmy G can stay healthy, and that's obviously been the most difficult thing for him to do as of late, it would be great for Trey to be able to learn and watch him. And it can be Jimmy's team for as long as he can stay healthy. But again, if Trey is just blows everyone out of the water, don't be surprised if you see him.
Yeah.
A couple weeks into the season.
Yep. Alex for the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Maintain your edge with M-Drive, a supplement for driven men. Check it out, mdriveformen.com. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. NBA free agency set to get underway today at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. In L.A., it's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Mercedes-AMG, they squeeze every last drop of performance out of every last sedan and roadster and SUV. Go to mbusa.com/AMG, Mercedes-AMG, driving performance. So NBA free agency begins in earnest at 6 Eastern and 3 Pacific, and we've got several suitors for several players out there. And Alex is going to ask me where I want them. Where do I think is the best fit for them?
You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Where do you want to see Chris Paul play next season?
I think the Phoenix Suns make the most sense. First of all, he was their best shooter in the finals. He had the best mid-range performance of any NBA player. Also, as Devin Booker's game grows, Chris Paul is an ally for him. He takes away some of the ball handling. Let's Booker work without the ball. And I still think this is primarily a young team. And I do think today, because of their health, they're really a healthy unit. I do think they should be favored to win the West next year, although we'll see now how the Westbrook, LeBron, AD fit works. But Phoenix feels right. His leadership, his mentorship, and let's not sell the farm on him despite the finals. He was the NBA's best mid-range shooter last year at 52% from the floor.
Now they have finals experience. Where do you want to see Kyle Lowry play next season?
Little overrated as a player, but I do think Miami is the perfect spot. First of all, he and Jimmy Butler are tight, and Jimmy does not deal with young players as well as veterans. So Jimmy Butler has said Kyle Lowry's one of my best friends. Also, Tyler Hero struggled to replicate his rookie year, and Butler, it didn't sit well with him. Also, the Heat have cap space to sign Lowry, and he's an Eastern Conference player. He knows the system. He knows the conference. I think he adds maturity to a young roster that sometimes last year lacked it.
Where do you want to see Bradley Beal play next year?
I've always felt he works perfectly with the Lakers. First of all, they were atrocious from three-point land in the playoffs. They really don't have shooter. LeBron's not an elite shooter. Westbrook's not. This team needs shooting. I've said this before. You think I'm crazy. AD is somebody I would consider moving. I don't know if he's committed. He's got an injury history. Bradley Beal does not get hurt. He is exactly what the Lakers need. A smart veteran, shooting guard, plays both ends, and rarely gets hurt. I think he fits perfectly with the Lakers.
Where do you want to see Lonzo Ball play next season?
Well, what team in the NBA has struggled to find a point but is really good in the wings? The Clippers. They can't figure out the point guard. He'd come back to Los Angeles. They've had Rondo. They've had Lou Williams. They've had Patrick Beverley. They haven't really had an offensive-minded guy that's young and works. Lonzo last year had his best season. His three-point numbers went up dramatically. His shooting efficiency overall went up dramatically. I think he misses L.A. I think he fits their roster. He's a long, athletic guard, coachable, committed to basketball, who's improved his shooting. I like him with the Clips.
I like it. Where do you want to see Damian Lillard play next season?
There's a lot of arguments to be made Philadelphia. I think Dallas works because I think the issue with the Mavericks is that Luka is held responsible for carrying the ball too much. You've got to give Luka opportunities to play off the ball and play fewer minutes. So if Luka comes off the floor, in the playoffs, when Luka came off the floor, they had no offense. You can give Luka 6 minutes off a half, and with Dame and Porzingis and Hardaway, your offense doesn't tank. Is that it's not just about getting somebody that can score. It's getting a guard to give Luka an occasional break so he can play off the ball. Because when you watch Dallas last year, when Luka sat, they had no offense. You've got to go find an elite scorer to play with him. Now, Dame's going to have to realize you're not always going to get the last shot. This will be Luka's team as much as Dame. But I think it would be an exhilarating, fascinating team to watch.
Where do you want to see Ben Simmons play next season?
I think the Golden State Warriors work. What doesn't he do? Shoot. What do they have? Shooters. What does he do? Defend. It's not Steph Curry's strength, and Draymond's no longer an elite defender. They just drafted two kids, 18 and 19. They'll get overwhelmed defensively in the league. Simmons gives you length. He's a point or a center guard. He's like a point forward or a point center. He gives you length. He's a great defender. He's a great distributor. Little injury history, but by and large, the team's culture is already set. You don't need him to be the culture creator. I think that's been Kawhi's problem in the Clippers. He's a great addition to a good culture. You're not going to create a culture around Kawhi. Same with Ben Simmons. The culture is set with Draymond, Steph, and Klay. Length, defense, distribution, I think he'd be great. And they have the pieces.
Let's stay on that. Where do you see Kawhi Leonard ending up next season?
I am rooting for Kawhi Leonard to just play. Next year, the Clippers are reportedly going to pay him $36 million. Now, he's not physically going to be ready to play until the All-Star game minimum. But there's no value in Kawhi necessarily risking playing after that, because at the end of the season, the Clippers will still pay him for a massive contract, because there's a sense in this, with the Lakers in town, that they have to do something big. So the Clippers are bizarrely desperate here. And I am rooting for Kawhi to play next year, but Chris Broussard mentioned it earlier. Why would you? Remember, the last time he had a serious injury in San Antonio, he refused to play, and they moved him. Okay, this is a serious injury for a guy that misses 15 to 20 a year. Why would you play in the second half of the season? Why would you do that? If you look at his psychology, we know one thing about Kawhi. One thing and one thing only. He's going to do what Kawhi wants to do.
Yep.
He doesn't even have an agent. It's a family member. So I'm rooting to see him play. I don't think he will. DoorDash, get more from your neighborhood. Dash Pass. Members get $10 off alcohol, groceries, pet food, because summer. Try Dash Pass for free. Get year-round savings. Stay cool out there. The DoorDash app has it all. All right. We're done for today. Free agency starts here in about 3 hours and 5 minutes. You know everybody's doing it now, but that's the official.
Oh, yeah.
That's the official time. What a trading deadline for baseball. Congrats to the United States men's national team. An exhilarating. Tell you, it was no scoring until near the end, but I was on the edge of my couch. We'll see you, Alex. We'll see you, Ryan, tomorrow in L.A. It's the Herd.